Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Usually more interested in preserving the family photos than his corporate data. You know, and they just...
Why has it changed now? Why is there so much hype now? Do you think it's changed or do you think it's all hype?
I think it's still all hype. I think there's a lot of hype, but... At least, especially in the manufacturing, it seems worse, and I can't put my finger on it. But they seem more closed off or resistant to ideas than, you know, like an insurance business or a, I won't say a print company, but.
Do you think it's resistance or you think it's just maybe something they don't know about? And it's so foreign to them that they just seem like they quit talking because they don't know anything.
Yeah, they just sort of shut down.
And it looks like a shutdown to us because we're trying to have a conversation and we could talk about anything else as soon as we go into a cyber conversation, they stop talking.
I see, and I would say, let's back up. It doesn't matter what conversation it is, whether it's cyber or backups or, I mean, I had an argument with a guy. He was, I tell this story, they were getting fined $800,000 a year from Walmart for shipping discrepancies, errors, and mistakes and things, right? So we go look at the thing. Well, they've got one giant reel-to-reel type label printer printing out 10,000 labels a day, and it would break down, and it backs up the whole company. It causes all these problems, and it, I think it was like, I can't remember them, but I want to say it was like 30 grand to get a few new label printers, and then, you know, you have redundancy, all these wonderful things. We did it. After a year, it turned out they saved $400,000 on shipping errors. Still wouldn't acknowledge that was a good thing, that it was a good investment, it had a return. We should look at other solutions like that. We should maybe explore where that kind of return could happen elsewhere. That's like,
so you think cybersecurity is one of those things where it's an unknown back-end expense with no real correlation in their mind to what it gets them down the road.
Yeah, and even if it did correlate or whatever, it's just, I don't know, it's just so out there for them. It's like a... That same guy had a great saying, why buy a Cadillac when a bicycle would do? Which I totally agree with, makes sense. But if your competitors are driving self-driving tractors, right, or something, and you're still on the bicycle, then a Cadillac isn't a good choice and neither is the bicycle. But you don't want to talk about it because, and my theory is there's guys at different ends of the spectrum giving them different information, right? Like, A, you know, let's say you're trying to convince me on that new printer, but you're spitting off jargon and costs, and then another guy's got a whole different, he's like, well, there's a $1,000 printer, why do you need the $30,000 printer? And then you don't know who to trust, you don't know what any of it means, they usually speak in a way that you can't understand if you're the owner, right? And I think, well, the industry is younger than most small business owners. Right?
So
when
do you
the
think?
Apple came out
do you think that there's a mistrust there, or like a generational gap mistrust?
Yeah, I think there's a generational gap. There's a just a genuine. Okay, maybe I'm interested, but it isn't very exciting. It's fairly confusing. You know, like I could talk about taxes, the IRS, or IT stuff. You know, or insurance. Right? It's all just kind of. I don't want to deal with it.
It's that.
That's my theory.
Non-physical things you can touch. Think that's a little bit to it as well?
A little bit of that too, yeah. You can't see it. It looks like it's working. Sometimes I call it the good enough attitude.
You know, I see this with as many people as I've interviewed about this National Cybersecurity Center.
Yeah.
The whole focus is on we have to spend money and buy things, but we want physical assets.
Yeah, they want
So we'll put money into buildings and things that we're getting that we can actually put on the balance sheet that are money. But cybersecurity and IT are virtual things.
Yeah.
We have so much work to be done in a virtual world.
Right.
But yet the, I don't want to call it old school, the intrinsic accounting is it's got to have a physical value when we get done. And 5 years of cyber work is not going to have anything that they can measure in those physical values. It's going to have something that they can measure in saving 10 cents every 10 minutes for the next 20 years.
Right. Yeah.
So how do we get that message across?
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
It's got to have a physical value when we get done, and 5 years of cyber work is not going to have anything that they can measure in those physical values. It's going to have something that they can measure in saving 10 cents every 10 minutes for the next 20 years.
Right. Yeah.
So how do we get that message across?
My, I'm building a new webinar.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be titled something like Four Surprising Ways Technology is Killing Your Manufacturing Company.
Okay.
And it's just going to be something simple. But the concept is, I'm looking for people who are woken up or about to wake up, basically. Mm-hmm. Because, like you, I'm tired of fighting these guys and going, look, I promise you, this is a no-brainer. This is going to happen, or this is happening. This is definitely, your server is crashing every day, right? So I keep bringing it outside cyber because, to me, it's, you got to start somewhere. And usually these guys are not even doing the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's all like, bah, you know, like, go clean your room. Nah, next year, right? They just, yeah. So the point is, I'm looking for the guys that have already had that near death, or they heard about it, and now they're, maybe if someone speaks their language, they're willing to talk about it, kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I saw, go through this time where the big companies, and I worked with a lot of utility companies,
yeah,
got all frantic. And legislation was coming down,
yeah,
the NERC SIP, that they had to do certain things in cybersecurity. And it's because, you know, on the political end, we realized there's some big weaknesses, some gaping holes that becomes almost national security,
yeah,
within our infrastructure.
Right.
So the big companies were like, okay, we need to do something because there's legislation coming down. And they were inundated with so many snake oil salesmen.
Oh, yeah.
Selling them whatever little gadget, whatever software, whatever application.
Yeah. Yeah.
And companies would spend $1 million, multi-million dollars on softwares, put all these things in, and a year or two later, they were throwing them out. They couldn't get them to work, or, you know, I'm sure they were doing some minute piece of value that the developer thought was working on some other, where he developed them for.
Right.
But they didn't cover enough to make any value to the company in whole.
Yep.
But anyway, these companies had spent millions and millions of dollars, and now they're just burned.
Yeah.
Now I don't trust anybody.
There's that too, yeah.
Because
literally been ripped off.
All these snake oil salesmen have come, yeah, through, and I've bought 5 different flavors and, mm-hmm, for 16 different municipal purposes, and none of them worked.
Yeah.
So now who do you listen to?
Yep.
So, and this is what I see is now, instead of listening to experts, they're turning to political might figureheads.
Mm.
So who's the director of the DHS? Who's the director of the FBI? That's who we'll listen to. And, you know, a lot of times those people are political figureheads.
Yeah.
They don't have a technical background.
I think that's, sorry to cut you off, but.
No, that's.
I think that's like a reaction to, look, there is no good answer. We'll never understand the answer. Let's just be able to check the box, right? So if you say, I talked to the head of the FBI, I talked to this guy, we're doing what he said, good enough, man. You can't fault me now.
That's a good point.
Right? It's like that. You never get fired for buying IBM or whatever that saying used to be.
That's a good point. So we're, you know, it's like after we've had so many snake oil flavors,
yeah,
we just want to look to someone like that says, okay, we're following the head guy. And if he said this, then, you know, we got hacked, we're not, nothing wrong with us. Look, we did with, yeah, that makes perfect sense to somebody at that level who doesn't know who to turn to.
Maybe they tried. Obviously, if they purchased all these things, they've tried these things, they implemented them, they couldn't figure out where it went. And then you see, to circle back again, this is why I also think it's not just a cyber issue, but you look at my competitors, who most of which they come in and all they want to do is straightforward things like, I'm going to get you virtualized, and we're going to put in a new firewall, we're going to clean up your network. But then they never stop and say, great, now how can we take technology and make money with it with your company? Like, how can we do a dollar shave club, Mr. Manufacturer, and, you know, make a dent in your biggest competitor, or something that's not just check the box. Like, now that everything's working and you get your email on time and your servers aren't crashing, now how do we leverage that into more? And if they don't even want to talk about that, then they're definitely also not going to talk about protecting it, right? It's just this nebulous thing they're not thinking about in any way, shape, or form. They're just sort of going, some of them I think are thinking, well, let's just sell it. We're going to sell this company in 5-10 years. If I can just make it till then. In the meantime, I'll have a drink at night and forget about it.
Or as long as I'm eking ahead on this small margin, I can look at that as just some risk level maybe I can buy insurance for and offset it. I see that a lot too. You know, I don't understand it, so let me try to offset that risk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them, maybe you could say it's the same question of why doesn't everybody implement lean and other things like that that are basic, or do a value stream map and just say, look, here's how the process goes. And when you see a lot of circles, it's a bad thing, right? Mm-hmm. The process is repeating itself and cutting across departments.
And is lean, that's a quality control thing. That's a quality improvement. Efficiency.
Yeah. Quality.
And, you know, it's the same. If you think about the big corporations that implemented the high quality assurance requirements, Six Sigma, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
They were in search of optimization to get the bet from being a top level product to being the best product.
Yeah.
So, and you know, if you look at it as a triangle, you have the best products, the top level products.
Right.
And then a whole bunch of people are like, hey, if I'm down here, I'm good.
Yeah.
Just give me numbers.
Good enough. Yeah.
So, in that term, you know, maybe only the top level optimizing mindset thinks that cybersecurity is for them.
Maybe.
And that's kind of, I think, what we're saying here is, until you're looking to say, okay, now I'm competing with the best, and I want to set myself apart, now maybe cybersecurity is viewed as we'll do that then.
Right.
And I'll tell you, we were talking earlier about when I signed off on cybersecurity.
Right, yeah.
And I'd have to say it was, 2013, 2014. I didn't realize what was going on at the time.
Right.
And I was like, why? I get hits all over the place. I get all kinds of people checking out and listening to my stuff, reading articles, all kinds of shares, and all over the industry, people talking to me about it. Why is cybersecurity kind of just going under the carpet? And, I realized at that time, and it didn't hit me for about a year until it started, 2 years until it started coming back, that when the WikiLeaks, Edward Snowden thing kind of came out, cybersecurity all of a sudden was the bad guy. Everybody went hands off. All the big companies, because we'll wait to see what the answer to this political question is.
Yeah.
And I always tell people this because cybersecurity has these, and it has several times in my lifetime being in it, very cyclical trends where it becomes very politically uncool, unsafe to be behind.
Right.
Let's just not talk about it because all of a sudden it's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then we'll go into a couple years of starving out, not paying to have any new stuff put in.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we're behind.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. So, and you were saying it's probably just hype. Some point does hype come to a catastrophic blow up? Or, the absence of it, the need for hype, do we have a meltdown on a global scale because of lack of, good cybersecurity practices? Does it take that?
Or maybe a smaller one wakes people up, or maybe there's some...
Well, that's what always starts the hypes.
Yeah.
And what ends it is either something political or the economy downturn.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
Well, that's what always starts the hypes. Yeah. And what ends it is either something political or the economy downturn.
Yeah.
And like eating your spinach and taking your vitamins, yeah, it's something that people don't know that you're doing or not.
Right.
It's in the background, so we'll cut that budget.
Yeah.
And we'll start shaving off the security budget.
Maybe
that's what
like
I see.
I see that too. Maybe it's, I see that too. I think, you know, it's like health, right? When do people, it didn't happen overnight, people suddenly stopped smoking so much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're a smoker, but it used to be everybody smoked all the time, and then even the big companies would be like, yeah, it's totally safe.
Uh-huh.
And now it's not near as cool as it used to be. It's not near as prevalent. You have to go outside and...
Yeah, I remember when they changed the law in Colorado that said so many feet from a building.
Yeah.
And after a couple years after that, you couldn't even find hardly anybody that smoked because it was a pain in the butt. You had to,
right.
It was the payoff, I guess, or the balance between do you get your relaxing fix or whatever, or do you walk 50 feet through the snow?
And yeah, now it's not relaxing.
So
yeah.
Now they're, you know, making a little bit harder the pain on a process per instance basis.
Yeah,
becomes greater.
And maybe that's where we're getting there with cybersecurity with the new NIST regulations and the different things. You know, when you're customer is Lockheed, and suddenly they have and they're pushing it down the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't want to lose your biggest customer.
Yeah, that's the new military requirements for holding a military contract,
yeah,
a government contract. So, but at the same time, that's and I forget the numbers now. I hate all those numbers that you have to remember. But they come out and said that had to be done by the end of 2016.
Yeah.
And then just like 6 months ago, they said, oh, we'll give you another 18 months.
Yeah.
So they, you know, even legislation and requirements from government are only going to go as fast as the average amount of companies can get there.
Right.
So they're only going to pull the companies that are behind if the 50% bell curve, mean amount of companies,
right,
isn't there. They'll just extend the requirement out. I saw the same thing with NERC-CIP for years.
HIPAA,
same thing.
Same thing.
So they set these... Everybody has to do this by the end of this year, you know, year or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, halfway, 6 months from the end of there, they assess, well, how many companies can get there by that time? When are the average amount of companies going to get there? And they reset the date.
Yep. It's probably like, you know, go clean your room. I'm going to count to three. One, that was 2015. Two, that's 2016. And you don't know which parent
you got. Two and a half.
Yeah.
Two and
three quarters. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's, in terms
Mom actually
of limits,
goes to 10, so.
In terms of limits, there's an infinite amount of steps between here and that deadline, right?
Mm-hmm. And you don't know, but why would you want to spend the money if it's not necessarily required yet? And, you know, Target hasn't gone out of business. They got hit. Yahoo hasn't gone out of business.
Yeah, I know. We only dropped one CEO, and he had a golden parachute, and he's living on an island somewhere.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Terrible. I will survive it, too.
Yeah, just a miserable life that God has.
Exactly.
Right?
So, I got to worry about something else rather than this security stuff or even...
Yeah, you got to steal money before you end up in the orange suit, you know?
Mm-hmm. And this is not on the steal money scale.
Yeah, it's just on the... Oh, whoops, I forgot.
This is just...
My bad.
Like, when I hang out with my other business owners as one of my clients, right?
Uh-huh.
We're not talking about, yeah, that guy really screwed up or... You know, it's like a... Did you get, you know, hacked too? Yeah, it sucks, right? Or
all right, it's all cool. We won't say anything.
Have you ever read or heard of the book The Phoenix Project?
I've heard of it. I have not read it.
Man, I think it's probably the best IT-related book for non-IT people and IT people alike.
Okay.
Because And the security guy gets beat up pretty bad in the beginning. And then you kind of see where it's going. So if you do start reading it, don't let that taint it for you. Like, just
I'll probably be like, I lived this, you know?
Yeah, you probably, I don't know. It depends on the guy and the,
yeah,
it takes all personalities. But the main theme that I got from it is that none of it matters. It doesn't matter how good you are, how genius you are, until the CEO or the president or the owner buys off on, yep, technology does have a significant effect, and we can't just hire the janitor to go clean it up when it breaks. We got to think about it. We got to involve them in the board meetings. We got to involve them in the planning and the goals for the company.
And we have to value their input.
We have to value their input.
I have produced reports and given presentations for the highest level in many companies, and they looked at it and said, noted.
Yeah, noted. Yeah. You did not read any or comprehend any of it, did you?
Even the comprehension, it's more of a, well, what's that going to cost me? All right. Cost, you know, how can we sweep it aside for a while?
Right.
And it's, you know, I use those generalizing terms, like they're just sweeping it under the carpet. But it's not really that way. It's a trade-off in, you know, business risk versus how much you spend for what you get. And I'd say the problem from their, looking at it from their perspective, is these security guys can never put a dollar sign on what I'm getting out of this.
Yeah.
So that's been a lot of where, you know, I've spent a lot of focus on how do I put a dollar sign on what value this gives them
if
they make these
answer.
Small things. What's that?
I have a good answer for that.
Okay.
And it's the, and it all then goes back to the same problem. Do you trust that security guy? And then do you trust the other IT guys? Or how do you know what any of it means? And if you don't want to take more than 5 minutes a year to review it, it really, really deteriorates quick. But I heard this great concept from, I forget who it was, either the CIO of MIT or the CIO of AT&T. But they called it the one-sentence business case.
Okay.
It's, we are going to do X so that we can improve Y. So let's see if I can get this right, because it's a long sentence. We're going to replace the time clocks at a cost of like $30,000 so that we can improve employee time tracking, which will improve the rate of widget production per day with the expected result of one new widget a day with a result of like an extra $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that $30,000 input worth the $1 million output? Yeah. That's
it
a
is.
No-brainer.
And it's quantifiable.
And
that's exactly.
You quantified it, and you said why, how it affects you, what that will do. And then if you put that at the top of every project plan and invoice, then it's a reminder. Oh, yeah, that's why we're still doing this for a year later if it's more than a $30,000 project, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you could do that for cybersecurity, maybe we remember why we did it and why we're still doing it and why we're paying that fee every month or every year.
And that's a great piece of advice for people listening to look at and say, you know, if I can complete that sentence for my boss, I'm the engineer, I'm trying to sell,
right,
but we need this protection.
Yeah.
That's might be where it starts. We have to simplify it.
Yeah.
So that management piece can understand it.
Take all the acronyms out, take all the debate about it, and we go, okay, great. If you're not sure whether it's your plan or my plan, mine's $100,000 and yours is $30,000, whatever that is, okay, fine, pick some number. But that translates to real dollars in the U.S. now, thanks to that, with a real-world result and effect that's going to improve your business.
Yeah. That is awesome. So as far as I kind of step back and talk about the National Cybersecurity Center and what's going on here, because we mentioned earlier about the small businesses. You have a lot of customers, clients that are small businesses, and they want to say, we can help provide or put together solutions for cybersecurity for small businesses that are offered as a kind of a matching. They're the registry, and they take provider, need, and put them together.
Okay.
How would that be implemented? How would you recommend to them to start putting this together?
For the business owner?
For the National Cybersecurity Center, for the effort here in Colorado.
How to match up businesses and the cybersecurity.
How to meet that goal of providing cybersecurity to the average small business?
Meet the goal. I think definitely more the education component and the simplification, like what you're doing, where you're trying to break these things down. And I hear you, we'll start, you know, down some technical conversation, and then you'll circle back and go, what that really means is, and that's great. Because most of it's just over the owner's head or the CEO's head.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we can continue education somehow, make it, it's got to be incredibly non-threatening and fun just to hold their attention and take the stigma out of it.
Mm-hmm. Right? So like, it's a training function. I hear so often that it's training. But I've seen service providers, and I've offered cybersecurity training for quite some years, and people don't engage.
No, they
unless they're forced to by a company that buys a training package and says, I want all my employees to be trained. There doesn't seem to be a consumer-to-consumer market or a consumer market for cybersecurity. It is only if I'm forced to take that medicine
right.
by my employer, mm-hmm. I will take that lump and go sit through that training.
Yeah.
So how it seems like the engagement has to be then to the business leader. But we just talked about how they don't see the value and they're you know what I mean? Seems to be a circular piece here where we're not, you know, the engagement's not happening. Now I see students here at Colorado Tech all the time. They're looking at how can I make money? What job can I get? What certificate do I need? What degree do I need?
Right.
It's all about, you know, once you get to the level where you're looking at it as a career, you know, how do I get a job?
Yeah.
But the training that we're saying needs to go out to the average person doesn't revolve around money, doesn't change their income, doesn't make their day any better. In fact, it probably makes all those worse to them.
It costs money. Well, then you still, yeah, if you go back to that one sentence business case and you show how that's either going to make or save you money,
mm-hmm.
there's that combination of the...
To the business owner, though.
To the
business... Not to the people that need to actually do the training.
I think
there's a kind of a fallacy of train everybody.
Oh.
When people aren't engaging with it.
I don't think there's a problem training technical people or security people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think they have an interest. I think you can easily get their interest if you go throw out your average cybersecurity seminar. You'll get... Half the IT guys would be like, yeah, that sounds cool. We need a better firewall. We need to, you know, change passwords and things, whatever you name it, you can enroll them pretty quickly.
Yeah, we're information collectors. We're simulators.
Yeah.
We listen to everything and put it together in our heads.
We love that stuff.
But that's a small percentage of the people.
But if you don't get
buy-in.
We're saying
we need to train everybody, which is the whole staff of companies.
Yeah.
We can't get the leadership to say it has value.
Yeah.
We can't add value to anybody's life in the mass employee area.
Right.
So how do we engage them?
It's still, to me, everything comes back top down. If you can't get management to buy in on the importance of it, nobody else cares either. And even, I mean, I've done it where I pushed a round peg through a square hole and it was miserable. We successfully did it. And then that's probably going to turn out like what you were saying, where we spent all this money on these widgets and things and security and whatever, and now we're going to just get rid of it. That was a snake oil. Or, you know, Eric said we had to do that, and we did that, and nothing happened. Like, that's the point. Nothing happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually one of the hardest conversations we have after a year or two of cleaning up a business, usually where they start with some specific problem. I mean, I've tried marketing on... you know, hey, you've got a security flaw or you're not doing backups or whatever, nobody cares. But if you engage them on whatever is their pain point at the moment, which and often is something like, well, shipping's all backed up, and mm-hmm. they tell us it's the computers. Okay, so you work backwards through that, then you solve the problem, push it through, and then they forget why they solved the problem, or now you've cleaned up the whole company and they're going, why are we paying you? We don't have any problems. Exactly. Do you want to pay for downtime or do you want to pay for uptime?
And I totally understand that except for that I've been in that situation. Now, I've been in a situation where you come into a factory and the whole product line's down. There's 50 people standing there because one piece of equipment.
Right.
And companies will pay you $1,000 an hour to get that equipment going. Now, work all night for 3 nights to make sure it's on the road.
Absolutely.
But now we're talking, like you said,
prevention.
Pay me to be here to continue to make your business better over time.
Yeah.
There's no There's no dollar sign on that. I mean, it's hard.
It's a very hard conversation. And it's why, for me, it keeps coming back to if the owner, decision maker, doesn't appreciate how this negatively or positively affects the business, it will always be a fleeting thing, and it won't last, and it won't matter, right? If a guy has a heart attack and you save him on the table, he might eat right for a week or something, or whatever the prescribed solution is, but then maybe, you know, did they that really get the message? Good. The steak is good.
Yeah. So,
or the French fries are good.
Yeah, the French fries, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To come back to your question, how do you make that effect? How do you train the whole company?
I just, whenever people say train everybody, it's a hard sell. I've been in that business for 10 years. It's just a hard sell unless the management is pushing it. And, you know, I had a good, great interview with the chancellor and of Denver University and the dean of engineering, where they talked about cybersecurity being kind of like the environment was in the 70s and 80s, where it's, how did Rebecca Chopp worded it? It's the existential question of our age that has to be answered.
Yeah.
But we have to look at it in terms of how we benefit as a community. But every approach I've seen, train companies, talk to the leadership, is not that. It's and how can we make it that driver? I mean, like, how many people got on the green, the environment, bought a car that they'll never pay for itself because it is green.
Right.
How do we do that? That's what I think is the right approach. That's what has to happen.
I agree. I keep trying to think of scenarios where this has happened successfully in the past, and I usually get stuck. I mean, I think of the cigarette example. I had one the other day, and I lost it.
See, I grew up on the East Coast.
Okay.
And we used to go fishing when I was a kid in New Jersey. And there was, you wouldn't eat the fish in the water. We went fishing. If we caught them, they were going to throw them. I mean, the water was just nasty.
Yeah.
And I haven't actually gone back and gone fishing, but I was talking to some friends that are from that area, and they're like, oh, yeah, I go fishing in that river all the time. I'm like, ooh, you eat the fish out of there? They're like, no, it's cleaned up. So we've really changed the environment, and this is, you know, back when I was growing up, it was in the nastiness of the post-industrial boom where things weren't clean, you know.
Right.
But through Environmental Protection Agency and just people's awareness, that has changed entirely.
Yep.
But it isn't like forced training on people to take care of the company network. Right.
It's got to be a pull, not a push.
Yeah.
Well, there's some element of push of, look, if you don't get this certification or whatever, you're going to lose your client or something like that.
And it will affect you immediately tomorrow. That's the legislation.
That's the legislation component.
But there's, and the EPA had some of that where they were pushing businesses from the top down.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that in the HIPAA and the FERC and a couple of legislative bodies that are pushing. What's the credit card one?
PCI?
PCI.
Yeah.
You know, all the compliances that are coming down in the military, the companies have to be in line with the, you know, what's required to get their contract, to make their money.
Right.
So all these things are pushing down from the top, kind of like the EPA did for the environmental. But, you know, we have a lot of people that don't benefit from the direct monetary action of the environment.
It's a very
long you can see it around you. I guess I'm just
brainstorming
out loud here with you. How do we make it work and get that out to the masses?
In my mind, it's this kind of thing. It's this, you're driving to get the awareness. You've got to drive the conversation. And to get the conversation going, you've got to start it, keep starting it, keep going. Right? It's like at a dinner party. You start talking about something and the conversation kind of fizzles out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody across the table starts it back up again from a new direction. And you just got to keep doing that until it.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better
approach
until it becomes sort of popularized or.
Well, and here's
top of mind.
Here's the other thing that, and this is what I think, the WikiLeaks and the Snowden thing showed us is.
Yeah.
If I'm the average person, and this doesn't do squat for me, what do I care? If I spend a minute of my time every day and my company benefits, the government gets more powerful, that company over there that does search makes more money because they're aggregating more information, mm-hmm. what do I care?
Yeah, it's not my problem.
So we have to say, how do we make privacy and security make sense for the average person to get them involved? How do we do that?
Somehow it has to even get easier and simpler, right? It's still a very complex, complicated, hard to understand, hard to keep up with, mm-hmm. expensive, boring, and irritating conversation. Anyway, you cut it, right?
Yeah. I remember I was at a conference, and there was probably 30 people in this big auditorium. I bet there was probably 50, but they were separated by 10 or 20 chairs. And having panels, people talking all day, just not a word, just silence in this whole audience. And I was on one of the panels, and I got up and said, I mean, think about it. You want to engage people in cybersecurity? I said, look around the room. And is there anybody under 40 in this room?
Right.
There was nobody. I was like, we're not engaging the young people because this is boring stuff.
Yep. Yeah. And the people that are engaged, I mean, I know it seems like the newbies that I hire, mm-hmm. fresh out of school, they either want to be game developers or cybersecurity hacker guys of some nebulous, that's how they usually phrase it, right?
Well, that's the thing that's sexy.
It's sexy, but then they are, I don't know, a little bit, almost every time those people are one step out of mainstream somehow, and they don't resonate with the people that have the money and make the decisions.
Yeah.
And they also end up becoming, you know, irritating, right? That's not secure, and it, right, so now that's a personality. It's like, but how do you encourage people to eat their vegetables or eat their meat or what, depending on which diet you subscribe to, right? But you don't mm-hmm. want to be the guy going, bad idea. It's no fun. They kind of cover that in that Phoenix Project book, but
yeah,
it's fascinating. I mean, I try to get all my owners to read it, and they usually don't.
Yeah.
Or they all say they read it. But.
Well, this is a great talk. Coming up on the time when people start tuning out if we get much longer than this. So, but I always want to give you a shout out of what your business is, how people can use your services, what they are, and what you can do and who you help.
So my business has two components. On the one hand, it's just standard IT consulting, technology consulting for small and medium-sized companies. On the other hand, it's really becoming more of a technology coach for management,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's just coming in and talking to the owner or the CEO saying, here's what you need to be thinking about, or here's why your business can't move forward. And that usually gets them excited, right? We come up with this new product, but we can't deliver on it because everything's such a mess back here. Mm-hmm. Well, let's help you clean that up. I don't care which IT company you use, or we'll take your existing staff and I will help you get them all on the same page and become a well-oiled machine.
Okay.
That is probably the most exciting future of my business.
That is. I that sounds fun even to me.
It's
because I did that on a international level for a couple years. I'd be sitting like in the boardroom talking to everybody, but I think we talked about earlier, I get tired of the noted.
Yeah.
It'd be really nice to work with, you know, some teams that were motivated to say, let's see what this does for my business. Let's see if we can take my business to the next level because we're optimizing it.
We took a $50 million company that was just a huge mess. They couldn't survive the day without a huge crash of some kind. And we just cleaned things up, coached them, got them going on their own two feet with their own team so they didn't need us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're a $125 million company in 3.25 years.
Yeah,
that's just a success, by cleaning success up story. The mess.
Yeah. So how can people get a hold of you?
AdkinsTech.com, which is A as in Apple, D as in David, KINSTECH.com, or ManufacturingTechMachine.com.
All right, and there you go. Eric, thanks so much for joining today, and we're definitely going to have you back to get some more, you know, conversations
and fun.
What you do to coach these companies. We want to hear some of those.
Love to.
All right, thanks for joining today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is a pleasure.
All right, have a good one.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.